Well, I thought in this session, I'd just briefly look specifically even at one particular area that I think is a temptation for us and very relevant today in our culture, and especially for you all who have phones or are part of any kind of social media. I think that's a specific area in which worldliness can so easily creep in to our lives and our hearts. So, you know, we've been talking about worldliness. Anybody remember just a basic definition of how we were trying to define worldliness yesterday? There's those two key passages. Maybe start by identifying those two. We spent more time in one than the other. Remember? This was just last night. Was that 1 John 2? Yeah, 15 through 17. Loving the world. Worldliness is loving the world, loving what the world loves. That's in essence. What's that?
More than God.
Yeah, more than God, of course. Yep. What else? What about the second? You remember what the second passage was? I mean, we didn't spend as much time there, but.
Romans 12:2.
Yeah. So, and the command there was, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Remember, by the renewing of your mind. So worldliness is not just loving what the world loves, but also thinking like the world thinks. And so that was kind of our two-part definition in a simple, just to try to keep it simple. But, I think one of the most helpful things for us to be reminded of, even from those two passages, is that the danger of worldliness is not necessarily out there, but it's in our hearts. So if we're gonna think that and we're gonna understand that, then, you know, as we come to even talk about specifically what particular dangers present themselves when it comes to this area of our smartphones or social media, maybe we could word the question this way. If worldliness is more an issue of the heart, then we should be asking, how does the use of our phones or any kind of social media platform impact our hearts? Have you guys ever asked that question before just diving into, you know, something that just, you know, that can pop up on your phone or utilizing any of those particular apps? And have you guys ever asked that question? I think you should. If guarding against worldliness has to do with thinking through the issues and how they might affect our hearts, our desires, and our ways of thinking, then it only makes sense then, right? For in this arena of technology and the digital age, that every new app, every new advancement that we as Christians are required to think carefully and biblically about how those things might potentially affect our hearts and draw away our desires or influence the way that we think. So Tony Ranke, you know, he wrote that book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He says this: every technological innovation is a new theological invitation for renewed biblical contemplation by God's people. And here's his warning then, and this is what I'm getting at here. Thoughtlessly adopting new technology, he says, is worldliness. Ever thought of it that way? In other words, if we don't give thought to our phones and or our social media usage and how all of that might potentially be impacting our hearts, then we are inviting worldliness. Remember we said yesterday, in Romans 12, verse 2, it is so easy for us to be conformed to the thinking of this world, to be pressed into the mold. It takes proactivity on our part to think biblically, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to be able to test what the perfect, good, and acceptable will of God is for our life. That doesn't just naturally happen. As sinners in a fallen world, that has to be something that we intentionally do. We don't drift into that. And so the same is true about our decisions when it comes to technology. And so just very briefly, I just want to give you just three warnings, perhaps in this area and in this arena, about technology and the use of it, or even specifically, I'm thinking of, you know, social media in general, or specifically, not in general. So I'll give you three warnings here, and you know, each of them includes a reminder and then something to then do or be careful of. So the first one is this: technology can expose your heart. So examine your habits. Okay? Technology can expose your heart. And because of that, we must examine our habits. Again, Tony Ranke, I'll just quote from him again, says, smartphone habits expose the heart. I mean, that's, I think that's very true. But he goes on to write, listen to what he says. It's very interesting and thought-provoking. He says, technology is always an extension of the self. Maybe you don't think of your phone that way, but it really is. And he tries to make this case, right? A fork is simply an extension of my hand. My car is an extension of my arms and my feet, and no less so than Fred Flintstone's footmobile. Likewise, he says, my smartphone extends my cognitive functions. Isn't that interesting? You just think about that. It's an instrument. And we project onto it ourselves and our minds and our hearts. It exposes what's inside. That is how we use it. He goes on to say, this all means that my phone marks a place in time and space outside of me where I can project my relationships, my longings, and the full scope of my conscious existence. He says, too often what my phone exposes in me is not the holy desires of what I know I should want, not even what I think I want, and especially not what I want you to think I want. My phone screen divulges in razor-sharp pixels what my heart really wants. The glowing screen on my phone projects into my eyes and desires, and the desires and loves that live in the most abstract corners of my heart and soul, finding visible expression in pixels of images, video, and text for me to see and consume and type and share. This means that whatever happens on my smartphone, especially under the guise of anonymity, is the true exposé of my heart, reflected in full-color pixels back into my eyes. To get into a phone, he says, is to peek into the interior of another's soul, and we may be too ashamed for others to see what we clicked and opened and chased around online. End quote. You know, I think that's right in many ways. Our phones expose to us what's inside. And so the question is, this morning even, what does your phone say to you about where your heart is aimed? Look, because technology and social media specifically even expose what's in our hearts, we have to examine ourselves. Matthew 12:34, for out of the heart the phone tweets, right? It's not what Jesus said, but the heart speaks, out of the heart the mouth speaks, right? But you could essentially say that, out of the heart the phone tweets, or posts, or likes, or shares. You know, the fact is a bad heart will yield bad social media and smartphone and bad smartphone habits. And so again, Tony Ranke in his book says very honestly, technology makes life easier, but immaturity makes technology self-destructive. With my phone, I find myself always teetering between useful efficiency and meaningless habit. And you know, that's exactly right. I mean, it is a powerful instrument, isn't it? And it is interesting as you think about it, the world understands the danger of a powerful piece of technology in the wrong hands. And it's why we have laws and restrictions for driving a vehicle, right? Operating heavy machinery, even buying or owning a gun. I'm not going to get into that debate, but I mean, the reality is, at some level, you know, the world understands that there are pieces of technology that are so powerful that there's a greater risk when they're found in the wrong hands, in untrained hands, we could say, or even immature hands, right? So if that's true about those pieces of technology, how much more is that true of our phones? To think about our phones in that way, in terms of the danger that they could potentially be to our souls. So just think about this. Again, last, I think one of the last quotes here, Tony Ranke reminds us, the smartphone combined several budding technologies into the most powerful handheld tool of social connection ever invented. That's not an overstatement, right? With our phones, all of life is immediately capturable and shareable. So he says, I was not surprised when the editors of Time named the iPhone the single most influential gadget of all time. And maybe for many of you here don't remember a day when there wasn't an iPhone or a smartphone, but some of us do. So that's just to give you some perspective on the potential of this instrument, that piece of technology, to expose our hearts. So we have to then examine ourselves. Will we use this for good or for evil? You know, and there is a choice there for us. Just think about then what the Bible calls us to. Listen to the exhortation given by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6. And everywhere you hear, you can turn there actually. Romans 6, look at verse 12 through 14. You know, and everywhere you hear the word instrument or member, think even tool or phone or technology, okay? If we're going to say that this is an extension of ourselves, it's an instrument that we use, much like our hand, much like our bodies. Listen to what the language that Paul uses here. You can apply this to our phones. Paul says, Romans 6 verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members, your instruments, the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You see what Paul's saying there? In context even, yes, Christians are free, we're under grace. Yes, there's great freedom in Christ, but what is that freedom from? We are free, Paul says here, to we're not just free to simply dive into whatever we want to do, to dive into everything that isn't necessarily prohibited by Scripture. It's not an autonomous freedom here. Paul says here, as a Christian, you're free from the dominion of sin and lust and unrighteousness. And so then you're free to use your body, you're free to use whatever's at your disposal, your phone, your instruments, for righteousness. The freedom that Christians have is a freedom that should be offered to God to use, that should offer to God the use of our instruments and members of our body, the extensions of ourselves, our phones, our social media, all for the purpose of His glory, for promoting righteousness. And so just think about that. The reality the Bible presents is that the freedom that we have in Christ, our Christian liberty, is to be used in that way. And so you're to present your smartphones and your social media feed, we could say, as instruments of righteousness to God. It's a powerful instrument, which in the hands of the flesh can be a dangerous and deadly thing. But in the hands of the Spirit can also accomplish much for God. Both are true. So the reality is technology can enhance your life when used responsibly, but technology can also ruin your life because of the great temptation that comes with it. So here's a way to put it, maybe. Tools like this can make it easier for you to serve, or that can make it easier for you to sin. It's just the bottom line, right? They're not in and of themselves bad. They're just instruments, but they reflect our hearts. Tools and technology can be instruments for sanctification. They can be instruments for slothfulness, selfishness, superficiality, self-significance, sin. So examine your habits. Examine your habits, okay? That's the first. Technology can expose our hearts, so examine your habits. The second is this, second warning then. Technology can excuse your heart. So ask the hard questions. Technology can excuse your heart. Let me explain that. So ask the hard questions. See, I find that we can often excuse our hearts motives by saying that the instrument itself is an evil. You ever find yourself doing that? In other words, here's an example. The Bible doesn't condemn owning a smartphone, so we must be free to use it however we want. You see, technology, though in and of itself, is not sinful or condemned by the Bible. Just because it's a neutral instrument, that can oftentimes be an excuse for our hearts, as if that were the only question we need to be asking in decisions like this, right? Is it wrong to be on Facebook? Well, show me chapter and verse where it clearly says no. And if you can't find one, then I'm going to do it. And the reality is, what I'm trying to help you understand is that's not the only question necessarily you should be asking. The Bible also warns us, just to remind you, Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. So this freedom that we have to use or to not use an instrument like this, a powerful one, it's to be done so responsibly. We're not just to waltz right into it and do so without thinking critically, without asking hard questions of our motives and of our hearts. You know, when it comes to something that can be used for good or for evil, again, the Bible is very clear to warn us against only asking the question, why can't I? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you this. This is a really 1 Corinthians chapter 6 first. You know, Paul had to deal with this attitude with the Corinthians, and they were saved out of a massively pagan and worldly society, and they had a renewed sort of freedom in Christ, and they often pushed back on a number of things that the Apostle Paul wrote to him or to them, and one of those was this: they also, like us, asked only one question at times. Well, does the Bible prohibit it? And if the Bible doesn't prohibit it, if it's lawful, then I'm gonna do it. And Paul, in this book, throughout this letter, is trying to help them learn some other questions to ask so that the decisions that they would make would truly be glorifying to the Lord in the freedoms that they have in Christ. So look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 through 13. This is where we first sort of see this crop up, this language. Notice what he has to say here. All things are lawful for me, and that's what the Corinthians would have been chanting, right? It's lawful. The Bible doesn't prohibit it. But notice what Paul adds that they missed. But not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, Paul's saying, look, there are other things to consider here. Right? It's very one-dimensional to only ask, well, why can't I? Does the Bible say no? Flip over to chapter 10. Notice it comes up again, chapter 10, this refrain, verse 23-24. Again, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, and he adds this time, but not all things edify. There's another thing to consider then when making these kinds of decisions. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. And then verse 31, of course, then he'll say that famous line, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do. He doesn't say do it all to show off your freedom in Christ. No, rather do all to the glory of God. So just put those things together and just think about what Paul's telling the Corinthians and then apply it to our situation, specifically what we're trying to think through here. You know, sometimes when it comes to our phones or new technology or social media decisions, we can be a little bit like the Corinthians, can't we? We don't give our texting or our scrolling or our posting as critical of thought as we ought to at times. We don't ask the hard questions. The only thing sometimes we ask is, well, it's lawful, you know, why can't I? It's lawful, right? The Bible doesn't prohibit this. But Paul's trying to get us to think more carefully, to ask some harder questions. He's trying to get them to understand that a heart that truly wants to glorify God, even in the normal, neutral, everyday activities, has to think more carefully. Yes, all things are lawful, but if we want to glorify God, we should also be asking, is this profitable? 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 10, we just read that. Yes, all things are lawful, but we just read it. If we want to glorify God, we should be asking, has this mastered me? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Yes, all things are lawful, but if we want to glorify God, we should also be asking, does this edify? 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Yes, all things are lawful, but if we want to glorify God, we should be asking, is this purely selfish? Or does this seek the good of my neighbor? 1 Corinthians 10, 24. And then finally, yes, all things are lawful, but perhaps the broadest category. But if we want to glorify God, we should be asking, does it glorify Him in these ways? So there are more questions to be asked about those kinds of decisions. I'll give you three other questions that Tony Rinke actually lists in his book to try to capture some of this. He says, specifically even of our smartphones, do my smartphone behaviors move me toward God or away from Him? Do my smartphone behaviors edify me and others, or do they build nothing of lasting value? Do my smartphone behaviors expose my freedom in Christ or my bondage to technique? So all of that to say, we can't excuse our own hearts from asking the hard questions when it comes to these kinds of decisions. Okay, so technology can excuse our hearts, so ask the hard questions. And then lastly, technology can affect your heart. So know when to quit if you have to. Yeah, it's interesting. It's true that our use of technology it expresses and exposes what's already in our hearts. Yes, that's true. But that doesn't mean, listen, that our use of technology can't also have an influence on our hearts. It is a two-way street in some ways, and let me prove that to you. Turn to Matthew 5. This is a really interesting what Jesus says here. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, verse 27. You know, it's a section where he's clarifying what some of the real issues are, and Matthew 5, verse 27. And here he's getting at what the real issue is behind specifically the command, you shall not commit adultery. So notice verse 27, he says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So you just stop right there and you think, okay, that's teaching what we just talked about, right? That the issue is the heart. The sin resides there. There's the problem. But notice what he says next. He doesn't say that the instrument, though, through which that temptation comes is nothing and that doesn't matter. Notice verse 29, that if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You know, that's so interesting because you could read that and you could say, wait a minute, Jesus, I thought the issue was in my heart. You just told me that. But here's yet another factor that Jesus is pointing out here. Yes, the source of the problem is your heart. Jesus, of all people, understands that. But then he can go on and say in verses 29 through 30, but it's not that these other things don't matter. The instrument through which sin comes to tempt me can have an effect on my heart. It's both. The source of the problem and the source of sin is my heart, but our members, our instruments, our circumstances, our tools, our technology, our faculties can at times be the very means through which temptation comes to excite the sin in your heart. And we have to understand that as well. You have to be aware of your own tendencies and your own weaknesses, and be honest with yourself as to what you can and cannot handle in current seasons. So ask yourself these questions, right? Has the power of this instrument, particularly the power that my smartphone affords me of privacy, does that feed the lust of my flesh? What about anonymity? How does that help or hurt you? Can you handle that? The lust of the flesh, how does that affect? Has the power of accessibility fed the lust of the eyes for you? You don't have to, you know, now, you know, it's not just temptation that happens to walk by you, but you can scroll, you could be, you don't even have to leave your room. Accessibility, how's that fed the lust of the eyes? How about the power of publicity at your fingertips? How has that fed the boastful pride of life, 1 John 2? How has the power of personal marketability fed the boastful pride of life? You have to ask all those questions. And as with all technology, our smartphones accelerate, amplify, and enhance these things to such a degree that they present serious temptations to us. And so if you don't think you can handle that at the season, then this is the warning. Know when to amputate, right? Like Matthew says, or like Jesus says in Matthew. There may be a season where there may be an appropriate time where knowing that temptation is great, where you'll have to, maybe you'll have to just get off of Facebook. It's a possibility. My point is simply this. Don't be thoughtless about this, okay? Think carefully about your decisions here in this area. Know what the dangers are. Think soberly about them. Think biblically through them and be honest with yourself about what you can and cannot handle. And I understand everybody at the end of the day might draw the line differently in different places, and there is indeed freedom in that, but you should draw those lines only after you've thought through the issues and applied them to your own heart and considered what the danger is of worldliness, what potentially could come at you and whether or not you're ready for that or not. So I forgot to print out a handout. Well, I did print it out. I just forgot to grab it from the printer. And I'll send it to you through GroupMe. Took a screenshot of it, but I just kind of listed some of the common temptations of social media for us, I think, in particular our generation, a younger generation, that maybe you've not thought through carefully because it's the air that you breathe, you know, it's what you grew up with. So I'll send that to you. And there are some Bible verses there next to each of those temptations. So I'll do that as soon as we done or finish praying. So let me pray. Father, we do pray that you would make us discerning, not just of the times and the all that's at our fingertips, but discerning of our own hearts in particular. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be legalistic about this, but at the same time that we would be sober-minded, that we wouldn't trust in ourselves or our own thinking, that we would, even in this particular arena, strive to transform our thinking, to be renewed, and not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Help us to examine ourselves and our habits and to ask the hard questions and to know when we need to spiritually amputate something out of our lives that we might do the true heart work of loving you first above all else. So we ask this for your glory. Amen.